Oh, okay.
Am I getting note bound? Am I?
I think so. Yeah. I just one verse that continuously comes through my mind as we're singing here and out of our story. It's a verse that I'm sure you can all use over and over and over in your worlds. Is, you know, and it's out of Joseph's story in the book of Genesis. What the enemy had intended for evil, God can turn it around and do good. And that has been my, our journey is saying, okay, you dirty rotter, you've tried to steal, rob, and take things out of our lives and from our, but Lord, in and through that, now, let our story make a difference.
Yes.
Let our story help shift things for others that, if anything, you can make it through, but God still is greater and bigger.
Yeah.
And that he is more than able to bring you through and bring incredible good out of what was really difficult situations. And yet, in and through our story, the challenge has always been keep your heart sweet.
Yes.
Keep your heart sweet. Keep your heart sweet. I used to have a little sticker inside my wallet every time I'd open it. Stay sweet. just to remind during some really devastating times. And just know, I will not allow the enemy to rob or steal my joy.
Yep.
I will not allow him to rob or steal my peace.
Yep.
I will not allow him. And so if that's occurring in your life, you know, even discouragement and depression and sadness, there are seasons. But there is, for me, I've just thought, wait a second. Is it stealing from my joy? Hey, wait a second. God doesn't steal.
Yeah.
He adds, and he blesses, and he wants to give increase, and he wants me to live in joy. If you know the fruits of the Spirit, what are they?
Yeah,
love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control.
That's the lost fruit of the Spirit.
we're regaining and fighting, but I'm just saying, out of these seasons, that's one of my tools that I said, wait a second. I think I'm losing something. The devil's trying to... something's being stolen from me. As soon as I recognize that, then I say, wait a second.
Yeah.
Jesus, I repent
for
allowing it to be stolen, number one. And thank you for alerting me to the fact that the enemy is at work. And I'm giving you that. And I say, Jesus, what do you have for me instead?
Yes. Yes.
You know, because whenever something is, you cast it away and you have an empty spot, you say, okay, God, fill it up.
Yes.
I want it filled up with what you have for me.
Yes.
And so that has been our journey.
Yes.
And it's been so key to keeping us sweet.
Yes.
And having joy. And saying, no, joy, one of my key verses in my life has been, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Mm-hmm.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
And if it's not joy in my life, okay, Lord, I'm show me where joy is today.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because the Lord is our joy.
Yeah.
He's our peace. He's our patience. So that has been our ongoing journey.
Yeah.
So I'll let Rick share.
So one of the things early in life, early in ministry, because of the stuff I had dragged into ministry, from my family of origin, if somebody was doing badly as a young adult or a youth, everybody say every one of them was doing badly as a young adult, somehow it was my fault. And one time I'm laying on the couch gasping like a beached fish, going, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And the Holy Spirit said, you can lay here bemoaning that situation, or you can go be happy with your wife while she makes supper. And I went, really? I could do that? And I went, yeah. And I got up, forgot about the kid, and went and had fun and was joyful with my wife. What we want you to understand is that God gives you that power that fast.
Yeah.
Like, you have authority over your life.
Yes.
He gives you back the authority over your life.
Yes.
You may not be in authority of the circumstances, but you're in control in the circumstances. And you are either a thermostat or a thermometer. Your circumstances will either drive you crazy and you'll be up and down, up and down, up and down, or you can regulate your attitude. You can regulate the atmosphere. You can change the atmosphere. I was working road construction during my college years. It's midnight, we're having supper. We're 3 weeks out of getting married, and I'm sitting in the crew cab, and there's five others beside myself, and the foreman starts bad-mouthing his wife. And then the other guy picks up and starts bad-mouthing his wife. And then the other guy, I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. And so it comes around to me, and I go, well, I might be naive, but I'm getting married in 3 weeks, and I'm really excited. This gal I'm marrying is da-da-da-da-da. And then the next guy praised his wife, and then the next guy praised his wife, and it went all the way back around to the foreman who praised his wife. You can change the atmosphere. You can change. You don't have to be belligerent. You don't have to be miserable. You can change it because God gives you back authority. He gives you back the power of choice. You can choose to be miserable or you can choose to be happy. And you can say, well, you don't understand. So in this season that we're in, this new season I alluded to last night, we're doing using in one of our small groups the letter to the Colossians just as a discussionary track. Well, I said you'll understand a lot about Paul, but really we want to interact with it. Too often we read the Bible for information, and you should, get clear information on what the Bible says and what it doesn't say. But most importantly, you want to interact with it. You want to read the book till the book reads you. You want to interact with it in such a way that you not only get the information, but the implication. Yeah. You should always be looking at the word going, so what? Yeah. Like, so what? And Paul, why did you write that? Yeah. I mean, there are thousands of prayers. Paul says, I pray more than you all, but he wrote down three in the book of Ephesians. So you should be asking, Holy Spirit, why did you have Paul write those prayers down? Like, it could have been any prayers, why these ones? And that takes you into the implication, the so what, and then, of course, it reflects on our life. So this book, I was thinking of this last night. For me, it's the word, prayer, and worship. That is a threefold cord that is not easily broken. Through all of life's iterations that you may go through, keep that in your core. Always keep your heart fresh. Reading the word, prayer, and worship. It engages our whole being into the Lord. So for me, I came to faith and I was biblically illiterate. And I could tell you horror stories about that, but I won't. But I came to faith on this. Is it worth it? Like, before I got saved, I had to sit down and count the cost. Thank goodness my friend said, you better count the cost. There's a lot of things you're doing that you can't do anymore. And I'm like, what? I'm a nice guy. He said, well, you need to repent for your sin. I said, I'm not a sinner. I'm just a nice Canadian guy. I'm a pagan, but, you know, I'm not a serial killer. I'm not Hitler. I mean, you know, those guys were sinners. They were real sinners. And he's like, well, you still need to... But I didn't realize what I was doing is I'm sitting down with the Lord because I lost his phone number and I'm counting the cost. If what this book says is true, is it worth this? Is it worth this? Is it worth... I'm taking all of the things I valued and I put it in a pile and said, if what this book says is true, and I don't even know what is in the book, it's worth the whole enchilada. It's worth giving everything up for. And so my life has been the study of what's in the book and what's in it for me. Yep. And you should do that. Like, what do you have for me? So Peter says in his second letter, he, the Father, has given us his great and precious promises through which we participate in the divine nature. I mean, just pause and reflect and think about and interact with that. So one time I'm talking with Jim Hall from House of Prayer Edmonton. He's the executive director. And we're in this animated conversation. And out of my mouth I said, it's not about applying the principles. It's about obtaining the promises. And then I stopped. I said, just a second. Let me just have a look at what I just said. I went, yeah, that's it. It's not about study the book, do your best, and I hope you make it through. He has set in front of us great and precious promises, and his promises are his permission. So when you open this book, as a son or a daughter, the Father is saying, this is for you. This is for you. This is for you. And what I love about promises, they always have further boundary lines. You remember David, when he got anointed as king, his boundary line was the pasture. Then he went to deliver some food, and there's this ugly Philistine making awful statements about God, and it enraged him. And then he found out that the king would give half his kingdom and his daughter's hand in marriage. Well, that was a good deal. I've got moral obligation, God is on my side, and I get this too. And then he asked around, he was risk assessment. You know, he asked two or three people, is this right? Is this right? Yeah, great. And so then David's boundary line stretched out to half the kingdom. Come on, how good is that promise? And then it shrunk, because promises are always tested. Whatever God says to you, whatever promise he makes to you, will always be tested. Always. Because the enemy goes, oh, really? We'll see about that. Because he always wants to keep you small and quiet. And God wants to expand you. Wherever God is, like Nell said, there's expansion. There is freedom. And so it shrunk and shrunk to the cave of Adullam. And then, bang, it spread out to Hebron and the southern kingdom. And then, bang, it spread out to the northern kingdom. And then God said, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Bang, it spread out. In your process of attaining the promise, walk with integrity and always walk in mercy, love, and grace. David could have aborted and made that promise boundary small, but he continued to have a heart open to the Lord. And so there are these precious promises that God gives us. And so his word for us is to be able to take that and begin to interact with it. It's in this interaction that our lives are transformed under his tutorage. He changes us from the inside out. So as I was alluding to last night, one of the things is the Trinity. And what that does in a lot of the scriptures is it sets up tension. And we're trying to figure, but truth emerges out of this tension. And I used to have fun in Vancouver because on my walk to work down Denman, there were always JWs there. And so they would always want to engage in. And so I'm like, okay. And one time I told the guy, I'm in a hurry and this is going to end badly. We'll both be yelling at one another within 5 minutes. He said, no. And in 5 minutes, we were screaming at one another. And I said, see, I told you, walked off. But what are the implications of the fact that God is three persons in one in a face-to-face relationship? Well, the first thing is, it's a relationship of preference, not superiority. They prefer one another. The Father prefers the Son, and the Son prefers the Father, and the Spirit prefers the Father and Son. How does that work in marriage? Great. Because we have to learn to prefer one another, not fight to get my own way. And so one of the things we've learned in this interaction with, okay, because my understanding is that God invites us into his relationship. We're invited into this kingdom relationship. We're invited into this relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus used different metaphors and language for us, but he said, I and the Father will come and we will make our home in you. So there's this interaction and relationship that we have that we're cueing off of how they... So Jesus never asks anything of us that he hasn't already done. So when he says, wives, love your husband as Christ has loved the Father. So So he's not asking anything of you that he has not already done. Come on, somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And the same thing. And husbands, love your wives as Christ laid down his life for his Father to give birth to the church. So again, when I get, do this, the Lord goes, really? You know, is that hard for you? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So what we used to do this dysfunctional dance. I'm sure none of y'all do it. But in our relationship, she would be quiet and just take it until Mount Vesuvius blew up. And then I'm not quiet by nature or shy by nature, and I would take a half a step back and go, oh yeah? Bang! You know, because when a woman says something's wrong, as a guy, I think, oh, she needs to get fixed. It did not end well. But I'm very good verbally, and I'm very skillful on my feet. And in a moment, I can argue my way out of most things.
Yes, you can. This is true.
So one time, I'm taking a step back, and I'm rearing up to go this way, and literally the Holy Spirit said, shut up. Now, when I say the Holy Spirit said, I mean, it's that inner broadcast center that he sets up in you. But he can shout over your noise. And he can shout and get your attention. And he just said, shut up and listen. And so I'm like, yes, dear. Inside seething, just, But what would happen? What would happen then is we had this dysfunctional dance where she would say, and then I would say back, and then we would go back and forth, and then she'd go, oh, I need to go away and think about it.
Yeah.
So she would go away for a couple days and think about it, and meanwhile, I've moved on. And then she'd come back and say, remember what we were talking about 2 days ago? And I'm like, oh, I'm so over that.
But I'd been stewing for the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And my biggest challenge was, because I love Jesus, and I wanted to love my husband, and I didn't, not wanting to hurt him, if you know what I mean. So I wasn't being honest.
Yeah.
And so then I would pull back and then try and figure out a way. And I would tend to think, oh, there must be something wrong with me. Because if there's something going wrong, then the problem is me. Because I didn't want to put it on others. I had taken on responsibility. And it must be my fault all the time. Mm. Which is a very victim mentality. And you have to understand, because then you start beating yourself up, and then the enemy just gets on it, and he can give you 10 other reasons why you're a failure,
your
or you're. And so we were in this discussion.
So this would go back and forth, back and forth,
and
like
so
for 15 years.
And so I would
years.
Pull back. Well, it was Guess closer what? To 20 years,
okay.
actually.
Time went by very
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So this thing, yeah. though, is that nothing got resolved.
Yes.
That's what we want to point out. Nothing got resolved. We said the same thing over and over and over. And we had the same reactions over and over and
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
And then at one point, we felt the Lord say, just keep talking. You have to keep talking. And so rather than explanation words, we used excavation words. Because the Lord is saying, you need to learn to hear her heart through her pain.
Yeah.
What is she trying to say, Rick? Because me, and maybe some of you guys, it was always on the words. Well, if I can just tell you that your words are wrong and explain why they're wrong, everything's resolved. No, because the pain is still there.
Yeah.
And so what we had to do is we had to learn to, okay, what are you trying to say to me? And she would go, dot, 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 dot. And then I was able to say, well, when you say that, this is how that makes me feel. And she's like, well, I'm not trying to make you feel that way. Well, I said, well, I am feeling that way. And so we had to keep excavating our conversation until we both heard one another.
Yes. And we couldn't be judging one another's motives.
Yes.
Or what was behind what we were saying. And unfortunately, with the years of doing this, I had built up such resentment in my heart towards Rick. And lots of anger. But see, that must be my issue, right? Anger, you have to deal with your own anger. And that was true. But in through that, we began to talk. Yeah. And part of it, I was raised in a family with six kids as well, four brothers and a sister. And we were all pretty verbal. But I was the fourth in line. And so, of course, then the older get so everybody's trying to talk and nobody's hearing. And so you end up thinking, oh, well, I don't really have a voice.
And so what we ended up doing and coming, so two things. We said, we don't care if the kids hear us fighting because we want them to know we're fighting for our marriage. And marriage is worthwhile fighting for. Staying connected is worthwhile fighting for. To get rid of whatever stuff is there that's hindering us from more fully experiencing God, we're willing to do that.
And so it was part of that, because it had never been modeled. How do you fight good?
Yeah.
Because there is a good fight, right?
Yeah.
In a marriage,
yeah.
There's,
yeah.
And in relationships, yes. Anywhere. This isn't just regarding marriage, but this is, what's the good fight? Because Paul encourages, fight the good fight.
Yeah.
And in a marriage, especially now, there. How do you fight good fights? And so that was the ongoing journey of us learning. First of all, I know for me, I had to repent for all the offense in my heart. And I'll tell you, it had become so thick. And I had years of cases, my accusations and all of that had built up.
She had a legal dossier.
I had a legal dossier. That was probably that big.
Your Honor.
Yes. And I just had been reading scripture enough to know that it's not just an optional idea to forgive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, it's a command.
Yeah.
And you don't have an option if you want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
That's just really, if you read it right through, that you don't have the option. And then especially when you're pastors, and then you're trying to teach your kids to forgive, but you're unwilling to give. And I was really, no, you got to do this at home first. That had been driven into me.
Yep.
If I can't do this at home, then I don't have a right to speak it out anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so then that journey of, and I remember the day when God was just so on us and that repentance, and I finally, okay, today's the day. And I tried to, I am so, sorry.
That
ability to repent, it gets stuck. At least for me, it got stuck right here. Like I had to swallow my pride.
Get rid of it.
And really recognize, that really is pride there. And that's the ongoing, you have to be truthful with yourself.
There you go.
And recognize these things are hindering us from a greater marriage, a better marriage, but also hindering us with our walk with God.
Yeah.
And so for me, that, because especially when I realized it was that hard to spit it out, we have a stronghold here. And I don't know if you've recognized strongholds in your life, but that is one when you can hardly come to admit and recognize the truth and actually repent and say sorry to someone that I've lived with now for that long and that I love, but I was angry with and I was holding resentment.
So in our dialogue back and forth, and again for you here, we came to agree that we didn't have to agree with one another, we just had to hear one another. So is this what you're trying to say to me? Yes. Well, this is what I'm trying to say to you.
Yes.
Yes, you heard that. Okay. Even if I don't agree with her and she doesn't agree with me, we said, we will go away now and let God deal with us. We will give space for God to deal with us to clarify any confusion. Because emotions create mental confusion. And so more often than not, I would go away and the Lord would go, "She's right, Rick." And I go, "Oh, okay, all right." But now it wasn't 2 days, it was the very next day, or even an hour later. And again, the more you do this, it's like you take yourself out of the equation. It's not about you. You'll get free, but it's really about reestablishing. Connection. Because here's what we learned. Too often, if I can use the Old Testament Genesis, we're eating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which always is judicial and always is who's right. And too often, we put who's right above life. The goal is not who's right, it's how do we keep connected in such a way that the life of Christ keeps flowing in our relationship. And that was gold for us.
Yeah.
And then it was just here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little. And learning how to hear one another. And learning how to value one another.
Yeah.
Over the years, God kept saying, "I brought her to you for a reason, Rick. Why don't you discover it?" And so our marriage, part of it has been a voyage of discovery of the gift that my spouse is to me from God. And now we're in a season where I can honestly thank God for the person he's brought in my life. Because as I said, he uses this close relationship to expose things in my life and heart that are hindering me from more fully experiencing him. And I want to experience him. I want every good and perfect gift from my Father to come down into my life. And so when I place that above the personal discomforture or the personal chafing that goes on or the things that frustrate me, it's like God keeps saying, "Well, why does that frustrate you?" And if you ask five whys, you'll become wise. Why am I struggling with it? Why am I racing through traffic? Well, because I don't want to be late for my appointment. Why don't I want to be late for my appointment? Because I value people's time. Why do you value people's time? Because I don't want them to think badly of me. Oh, that's why I'm racing through traffic. I'm people-pleasing again. You see, there's the fruit and the root. And if you keep asking why, it's like an excavation tool to get down into your heart. Because we live out of an inner core. We live out of an inner image of ourself. And God is trying to transform that inner image into the image of his Son. And in our next session, we're going to talk about, getting down and understanding the identity that he wants us to move out from. Because what we've learned is that there's quite a large and spacious place for us to do that. Did you want to say?
Well, I know we need to break, but for the worship team, Jeremy, you're Jeremy, right? Yeah. I figured that.
Yeah.
And Helen, that was amazing this morning. And I just want to encourage you in your boldness and confidence to keep pushing in.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we cleared things up, God was then able to endow more favor and more authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you too, that was lovely to see you push in. And I just know that God's got more. And like the treasures he has for us, he's not hidden them from us. He's hidden them for us.
Mm-hmm.
So go into your worship and look for the hidden treasures of his anointing. And then out of the anointing, the unfolding, and I believe healing. And I believe that there's freedom as you sing over people. Mm-hmm. And that's same for the team last night. That was amazing. There was freedom in that. You heard from God even in your song choice, and just singing out, and it shifts atmospheres.
Mm-hmm.
It shifts atmospheres in people's hearts and minds, and gets their minds off of their issues and their problems onto God. So I just want to encourage your worship is amazing and stirring up. I'm loving it. The atmosphere is open. And who knows where God's going to bring you. Because I really believe with the worship, you will see freedom come for many. And this getting free is so we can model what they're desiring.
Yeah,
the world desires freedom.
Yes.
And they want to see, if they see whole healthy couples, whole healthy families, oh my word.
Yeah.
You're just like, What do you have? Yeah. I want it.
Yeah.
And so understand that this process is for a purpose. And so with worship, get into worship, because the big three areas that will always be under attack and you'll be tested is worship.
Yeah.
Worship is one, finance is another, and relationships is a third.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if you've got a bit of fight going on.
Yeah.
And recognize, oh, we're fighting for something for our future. So yeah. I just want to give you a chance for that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can we break now? Is that good? Yep. Good to rest. So we'll do a Q&A at the beginning of this next session. Just at least I'll open it up if you have any questions. If you haven't understood something we've said, which I understand, just feel free to ask those or begin formulating them in your mind, and we'll start out that way.
It's very good.